Good morning. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Ray Mays, CEO of Eye Centers of Tennessee. Hi, Ray.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So tell me what Eye Centers of Tennessee is in a nutshell.
We are a group of ophthalmologists, optometrists, and opticians. We have offices in Cookeville, Crossville, Jamestown, Livingston, Byrdstown, McMinnville, and Sparta.
Do you have to count through when you go through those all to make sure that you hit
them
all? You kind of, I mean, you guys are taking over the Upper Cumberland.
Well, we hope so.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about you is that you do not, you're not a doctor.
No.
You do not have a medical degree.
No.
A medical background.
No.
But you are the CEO of Eye Centers of Tennessee.
That's correct.
So give me a little bit of why you're in the position you're in. Why are you the guy for the job?
Well, I've been there for, June 1st will be 23 years.
Which you did not, when you started, you did not have locations all over like that, right?
No.
This is kind of newer growth.
That's correct. I'm an officer in the Marine Corps, a major in the Marine Corps. Came to Crossville in 1993. Went here and there, back in the Marine Corps, back and forth, Saudi Arabia. And then in 1998, met Dr. Patterson. I think it was Dr. Patterson's 6 or 7 employees at the time in a little bitty office there in Crossville. And we met and decided that we would give a shot of growing a company in the eye care industry in our part of the world. And 23 years later, here we are.
So interestingly enough, and I find this so much with entrepreneurship, is that people feel like people usually enter whatever business that they are in because they have a passion for that. And they think, okay, well, I'll start a business and grow a business. You have a passion for entrepreneurship.
Correct.
Where does that come from?
I don't really know. it was just, you know, there's. You have a product. Any business has a product, and the product that you're selling is important. And if you can imagine a pyramid, it sits at the top, but it's also the smallest piece, and it's the systems and all the things that happen underneath that that really go to support that product. And I came to entrepreneurialism late in my life, and just as we've grown over the years, my role is less, seems every day is less and less in the eye business. There's really 15 separate companies in the portfolio that I have with other partners. And it's just in the day-to-day portion of my life is obviously spent with Eye Centers of Tennessee. But in the past 3 years, especially as we have a chief operating officer now and 4 regional managers. You know, I've given more of the day-to-day operational control over to other people that lets me work on other projects.
Do you think Dr. Patterson had the vision of creating an entrepreneurial business or just kind of like, okay, I need some business sense, so I'm going to bring you on board? Or do you think he, you know, especially doctors and lawyers, I think are the two that don't look at their business as a business at all.
It was a combination of that. He knew that he wanted to do something different than what he was doing. He'd been there for 10 years at the point that I joined. I told him I wasn't interested in being an office manager at a doctor's office in Crossville. That's not what I wanted to do.
Which, with a military background, I can't imagine.
Yeah, it was a change for me.
Yeah.
And so he knew that what he was doing, he wanted to do something else. And we spent the first year together trying to figure out what that something else was going to be and what it was going to look like. Because at the time, there really weren't any vertically integrated, for lack of a better term, models that we could go look at.
Mm-hmm. In the medical industry.
Yeah, we visited a lot of places that were similar to what we thought we would end up being. But I think like most things, it turned out to be different than what we had in mind, and we just kept, we followed the military practice of never reinforcing failure. When things didn't work, we tried something else and didn't just assume that we knew everything.
Do you think that that practice was unique to the Upper Cumberland, of you guys kind of being the first medical practice to want to grow a business? Did you have to look outside the Upper Cumberland to kind of see
We went all over the country, and you know, we were trying to find, in those days there, you know, we were still doing procedures in the hospital. And then by 2002, we'd opened an ambulatory surgery center, which we'd never done. You know, we really had no clue what we were doing other than we knew where we wanted to end up. So we visited places in the country that had ambulatory surgery center where ophthalmologists were doing surgeries in an ambulatory surgery center setting, which was still very rare.
Innovative for the, especially for a middle, you know, rural Tennessee.
Oh yeah, it was,
I'm sure where you were going was not rural parts of the country.
No. This. We went to, you know, Phoenix, Seattle, down in Miami. Yeah, they were all metro areas, absolutely.
In case you're just joining us, we have Ray Mays, CEO of Eye Centers of Tennessee. So let's go back a bit. Are you originally from Tennessee?
No.
Okay, so where did you grow up?
Henderson, Kentucky.
Okay, so in the South. And what, you know, 10-year-old Ray, what would 10-year-old Ray have said that he wanted to do when he grew up?
I'm going to be a Marine officer.
Okay.
So I knew without a shadow of a doubt what I wanted to be.
So
most of my life.
Were you and I have just barely scratched the surface of my military knowledge. But you can enlist when you're 18 or when you graduate, or you can go to certain universities for military schools. Is that correct?
Yes. I joined the Officer Candidate School program in the Marine Corps when I was a sophomore in college. Graduated college, took a commission as a second lieutenant, and then was an infantry officer.
And that puts you, when you're in college in the military branches, that puts you on a different track than if you just enlisted when you're 18. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. And you have the enlisted Marines, mm-hmm. you know, private, corporal, sergeant, you know, all the way up mm-hmm. through sergeant major. Then you have the officer ranks, which are second lieutenant through general.
Okay. And you knew that you wanted to be in the higher ranks in the Marine Corps from...
Yes, I knew that I wanted to be an officer in the Marine Corps. Yes.
Where did that come from?
I couldn't tell you. No, just...
Do you think it was like kind of, you know, fighting with Army men as a kid, as a little kid? Or do you think
But my family, almost everybody in my family, I have an aunt who says that she's traced the Mays men back to the French and Indian War.
Okay.
So it was, you know, we have a long tradition of being in the military.
Yeah, okay.
And so I think it was just... It was all of that.
Do you think in your entrepreneurship journey, do you think that you saw that even maybe in your teen years or anything? Was there parts of that around there?
You know, I was so frankly, I was focused on playing basketball and doing all the things that it took to be, you know, taking all the courses in school that the Marine Corps wanted future officers to take.
That was just your vision, your tunnel vision of nothing else.
Never had any intention of being a civilian, none whatsoever.
Did you, when you were in school, were you, it was all just aligned to be an officer?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So no business?
No, none.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, none at all. I had to completely learn a different language when I got out of the Marine Corps.
So how long were you in the Marine Corps?
15 years total, active and reserve.
Thank you for your service. And what made you decide, okay, I'm ready to hang up that hat and be done with that life?
I really wasn't. After the first Gulf War, my war, there was a drawdown, reduction in forces, and my number was, they did kind of this random reduction for, there was a process, but basically it was a Social Security number lottery type system.
They had to downsize somehow.
We have to downsize and hey, sorry, you're out. And so I was thrown into a world that I was utterly unprepared for.
And I know that you're a, you know, tough Marine Corps guy, but I'm guessing that took an emotional toll on you.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. I spent 7 years trying to decide what I want to be when I grew up.
And without any real direct, you know, I mean, that you had done what your mission, what you thought your mission was in
life.
That's
correct. Yeah. I just never had any
thoughts of doing anything.
Didn't think about anything else. Didn't study about anything else.
So 7 years, and what did you do in these 7 years?
Worked at a factory. Actually, I worked at two factories. I was a security guard. And somewhere in there, I decided that what I was doing wasn't working. And I mean, there's not like a, you know, Saul on the road to Damascus moment where some light came on and hit me in the face, but it was, to compound things, I'd gotten married. So, you know, I had a constant reminder every day of, you know, hey, what are we going to do? So I'd read an article about Crossville, Tennessee, and I was pretty sure I knew all the things that I did not want to do. I didn't want to go back to school, so I didn't want to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer. I just couldn't face the idea of going back to school. I didn't want to do it. And so I went back on active duty through the reserve side in the Marine Corps for a while. I went to Saudi Arabia for a year by myself, which was a good transition. Now, that was 4 years after our experiment in Crossville. I had started a business with my dad. We made it 2 years before it failed, which was a wonderful learning experience. It wasn't so much fun at the time. Ended up in Saudi Arabia. But as a result, I think, of that first business failure, I was able to say, I'm the problem. So let's stop blaming the whole world and say there's something that I'm doing that is the problem. And so that year in Saudi Arabia, again, the days before the internet, no email.
Yeah.
And I pretty much had the books that were in this little base that we had. And I stumbled across Think and Grow Rich. And that one book changed my life.
We're going to get into that in just a second.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I have Ray Mays, CEO of iCenters of Tennessee. So you're in Saudi Arabia, a self-guided trip. You went by yourself, right?
Yes. The arrangement was that you go by yourself unaccompanied for a year. And then if you like it and you agree to stay, then your family can come over.
Okay. And so you're kind of soul searching a little bit.
That's correct.
It's a little eat, pray, love for the man.
Well, and frankly, we were, you know, I had to go through a personal bankruptcy after the business failure.
And what was that business with your dad?
It was a tractor dealership, a farm tractors. So I grew up in Henderson, you know, back in those days. I mean, it was just every guy, you know, pretty much in the county in the summer and, you know, pretty much year round, you worked on cattle farms or setting tobacco or.
So you kind of had a knowledge of your customers.
That's correct. Yeah.
You know, you thought it would work. And so, so it doesn't. You go and you read the book,
Think and Grow Rich.
Think and Grow Rich. And what it's a light bulb kind of moment a little bit.
Yeah. It's a book that crystallized my thinking and identified, you know, man, here's what you want to do.
Of a business sense.
That's correct. Like, yeah.
You thought, okay, now I might get in the business world, the entrepreneurial world.
Yeah. And it was, so I get back from Saudi Arabia. I took a job with Coke, in Atlanta. At the time, I don't know if it's still the case, but at the time there were more Marine officers that worked at Coke than there were in the Marine Corps.
Interesting.
So it was just
I feel like everybody in this region kind of goes, their track goes through Coca-Cola at some point.
Yeah, I guess so. It was just, I had a friend of mine down there. I said, yeah, man, I'm going to do it. And so literally out of the blue, this phone call comes from Dr. Patterson and says, hey, I want to talk to you.
And you got, you had already worked a little bit with him.
My wife was the dance teacher at Cumberland County Playhouse.
Okay.
So his daughter took dance, and frankly, the mothers of Cumberland County were more concerned with my wife leaving than me, really. But anyway, it led to a conversation where I told him, you know, man, here's my, you know, I appreciate it, but it's just not on the list of things that I want to do. You know, I'm going to have a job for as long as it takes me to figure out this other path that I want to be on.
And the other path being to start your own business.
That's correct. I decided that never again would a nameless, faceless bureaucrat determine my fortune. And because in the Marine, at the time, there was no appeal. There was nothing. It was just, hey, sorry, thanks for playing, you're out.
No, yeah.
It was just over.
And I mean, I'm going to pause. Like I said, I mean, we touched on it a little bit, but it had to have just taken such an emotional toll when that's your whole life plan and you're, you know, and I mean, I think there's a lot of PTSD and a lot of emotional strain that is just the military lifestyle in general.
And it's the feeling of rejection, you know, again, it was.
And the military in general is not, it's tough men,
right.
Not and emotional it, men that are, yeah, you know, was, trying you know, to deal with what's going on.
You salute and say, yes, sir, and go on.
Yeah.
So there was no way to deal with that. So anyway, I meet with Larry, Dr. Patterson, and we agree on a 90-day trial run. So I said, man, you know.
And you put the Coke hold at this
yes,
point.
Yes. Yeah. I figured, you know, Coke, talk to my wife, said Coke will always be there.
Yeah.
You know, another year is not going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, man, you know, if at any time during this first 90 days, I'll give you 2 weeks notice and you can give me a 2-minute notice. Man, that's, you know, that's just where we were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was that one of the things in Think and Grow Rich is, you know, you have to decide what you want to do. And again, the opening part is desire is the beginning point of riches. And again, however you'd want to define riches, you know, and this journey was not about money to me. It was about freedom. I want to be able to do what I want to do and succeed or fail on my own. And if I succeed, that's great. And if I fail, I'm man enough to say, okay, let's try something else. So that core relationship has stayed the same for 23 years. We never put anything in writing. We never, you know, we don't have a contract. We don't have anything except this is how we're going to do this. And you know, June 1st will be my 23rd anniversary in that, you know, as a partnership with Dr. Patterson.
In case you're just joining us, we have Ray Mays, CEO of Eye Centers of Tennessee. So you and Dr. Patterson decide you're going to, and he'd already been practicing ophthalmology.
That's correct.
Just in a small practice,
right,
in Crossville
Eye Center, 10 years almost to the date of when I started.
And what do you think, you know, and we're hypothesizing maybe a little, what was his vision to take his, you know, however bajillion years that eye doctors go to school, yeah, and let me make it a business instead of just look at, you know.
I think that we have similar backgrounds. His dad was a preacher. My dad was a teacher. So money really wasn't our motivation. I think a lot of people are mistaken about where we've ended up, but that was never really that was never really our intention of starting out.
And just, I want to point, people can't see you obviously, but you kind of have a little smile when you talk, yeah, about just where you're, and you're not ending, but where you are now. I think that that's great to know. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, what you kind of have done in the last year, but, so what was the motivation, do you think, overall?
Again, I think it was freedom. That hit us
his
both,
too?
Is that we're, you know, we want to be able to do what we want to be able to do when we want to do it. And if we want to do, if we want to do surgery in our own surgery center, then we're going to build one and do it. And if we want to, you know, we only want to see patients 46 weeks next year. But keeping in mind that, man, we were swamped.
Yeah.
So how do you, you know, how do we do this so that everybody, you know, kind of gets the life that they want? And again, It's not like we sit down and planned this out.
So there was never a vision for innovation in rural Tennessee. That was not.
Yeah, what we realized is that what we were doing, what basically everyone that we visited was doing wasn't going to work for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you go to Manhattan to an eye doctor, there's more people in two city blocks than there are in the entire Upper Cumberland.
Mm-hmm.
So it just takes a little different mode of thinking.
Yeah.
Geography. It's just right. Where we are.
I mean, I think that's true across entrepreneurship.
Absolutely.
in rural Tennessee, period. Yeah. And you know, the way we teach entrepreneurship is way different than Knoxville, Nashville, Chattanooga. It has to be.
Yeah, the commonality is that you do have to think. You have to be creative. You have to look out there and be courageous enough to say, we tried this, it's not working, let's try something else. And we tried that, and it's not working, let's try something else.
But people struggle with that so much.
Yeah, you can't force on your market your idea.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say, here's what people are telling us. You're the one with the product that you're trying to sell, and maybe your product people don't want to buy. So that doesn't mean you still don't have a viable business. That means you have to change. And it's a constant, I'm obviously I have no notes or anything in front of me, but I think it was Peter Drucker that said the goal of a business is to create and keep a customer. Well, I've amended that myself over the years, is that the mission of a business has to be to create and keep a customer at a profit forever, because there's no end.
Yeah.
You don't just get to say, hey, I've sold my last widget, so now I'm done.
Well, you can, but then there's no more money.
And then there's, right. I mean, so you're...
You know? That doesn't give you the freedom that entrepreneurs
right, so that,
are looking
that
for.
That stress that comes with that's the challenge. How do you do that? You know, and then I guess, institutionalize, I guess, is the word that I'm looking for, is that how do you set that? You know, so what I was able to do is take all that stuff that I learned in the Marine Corps that I never really thought would be applicable to say, well, what if it is? You know, so that plans, policies, procedures, you know, how do you set all this stuff up and make it work? In the civilian world, and two, in this industry of healthcare, and even slice it down even further into eye care.
We're going to get into more of that in a second. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. We have Ray Mays, CEO of Eye Centers of Tennessee. So you guys and you opened last year a new facility, your kind of headquarters, if you will, last year. Was that 2020?
We opened a new location in Cookeville in 2020, yes.
And in the middle of a pandemic.
Correct.
During COVID. So what was your secret to success in 2020? Because you did okay.
The secret, I guess, to our success is really that... We decided that the way that we needed to grow was a series of strategic acquisitions, and that we certainly did not refer to as strategic acquisitions when we started. But in 1999, we merged, acquired a practice in Jamestown and a practice in Livingston. In 2000, we acquired a practice in Cookeville. In 2001, we got another one in Cookeville.
So was this you as the CEO, the business guy, kind of saying,
yeah,
okay,
we didn't have that title then. It was just, it was Ray and Larry. It was kind of how we did it. And
But people knew he was the doctor.
Yeah, he was the doctor.
And you were
the
brains.
Yeah, so it was so by within literally 12 months, you know, we had four other doctor's offices that we had kind of merged with, acquired. And, you know, I don't mean to sound arrogant, but again, I don't have any notes here with me, but Eye Centers of Tennessee is, I think there's 9 practices in the area that over the years we've merged with, acquired, guys have retired and we took over kind of thing, got their employees. And so really we survived 2020 because we survived 2001. We had taken this huge leap and built our Crossville headquarters with the surgery center. We had borrowed more money than either of us had ever seen or imagined was possible. We started construction. Our steel went up on 9/11. On September 12th, 2001, the bank called me and said, hey, we're going to cut off your construction loan because we don't know what's going to happen. So both of us went into this panic mode.
And you never went back for any formal business education, right?
No, I just did it on my own.
Yeah.
I didn't know where to go.
Yeah.
There was nowhere that I could go to say, hey, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know anybody.
Right.
So
let's be real clear on like 2001. Google wasn't what Google is.
There was no internet at all.
Yeah.
Or certainly that we had.
There was some dial-up in 2001.
Yeah, so it was just, okay, it's time to sit down and think. In fact, on September 12th, 2001, with a soon-to-be two-year-old baby, I went to the emergency room with chest pains, thinking I was having a heart attack. It was a tough couple weeks.
Yeah.
And so I set myself down and again said, it's my job to figure this out. And so I just went into a room and turned the lights off with a legal pad and just started thinking. And I was able to get us a USDA guaranteed loan, which made the bank happy, which, of course, those things took forever. But the bank said, hey, if you're working on it, we'll take a chance. So that year between 9/11, 2001, and the time we got open in April of 2002 was pretty stressful. Lost even more hair than I have now. You know, and then so we bumbled and stumbled and fought the battles that it took to get through there. And then 2007 came along and hit us again, right when we were on another growth spurt. And again, we just had to buckle down and cut back. And so by the time last year happened, it was, okay, you know, here we go again. So
buckle up, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a function of not panicking. But in all those years, we've never missed a payroll. Dr. Patterson and I have skipped a few or five or six or seven, you know, but man, it's that function of leadership is that the only person, what I tell people is if you see Ray running, you better go. But until then, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. We'll take care of it.
Well, one thing I do want to touch on is I think that I know some kind of inside stuff about your company culture. Can you touch on how you build the structure of your company, your employees, the way you do, and why you have such a good company culture?
Again, we never really started out, or I didn't, to say, man, we need a company culture. I think just as you grow, so if you have this company and it starts to grow and there's, 130, 140 of us, however many there are now.
Starting from Dr. Patterson and eight employees.
Yeah, it seemed like there were seven or eight of us. Yeah. I don't remember exactly.
20-some years ago.
I mean, we could all meet in a closet because that's basically what we had. You know, but I think just the natural attrition is that there are going to be people that stay that say, you know what, this is my career. We're fortunate for wherever fortune comes from. I'm not going to take all the credit, but you know, we have four regional managers of ladies that are tough, professional, our clinical directors, Katie Korth, who's sitting here, you can't see or can't, is not talking. Again, it's that there are people that are attracted to that type of environment. And it's just learning that, you know, turnover's tough, but you're going to have it.
Well, and I want to touch just a second on Katie, who you mentioned is kind of here, but she wasn't hired into a position in leadership position. She's kind of worked her way up because of the belief you put in her and the work ethic she's shown. I think that's so important in a company. I think I've done the same thing at the Biz Foundry. Yeah, I was not hired into a leadership position there. I've kind of, you know, I've shown Jeff to believe in me and he's, you know, I've become an asset, and because he's believed in me and he's put these responsibilities, I think that's really important. And I think maybe some of that's your military background.
It is one of the things that you learn as an officer is that you should seek responsibility. And so one of the things I look for is there are people that, that seek responsibility, that stand up, raise their hand, say, I can do that. So none of our people, no one in the company, to include me, said, you know, here's where I am now and here's where I'm going to end up. No one's fortunate enough in life to do that.
Well, and like you said, your title back in the day was not CEO. Your title was just Ray.
And I'm just Ray, man. We don't have to be formal. Just, you know, the Marine Corps is over. There's no yes, sir, no, sir saluting. There's just, again, I'm not infallible. There's no immediate obedience to orders. It's that, you know, but there are a group of, you know, I call them my girls because that's what they tell me they want to be called. But, you know, I've got these tough, battle-hardened women that are professional and just awesome in every way. And it's that, you know, some started at the front desk, some were at the back, some like Katie, you know, she was our hearing aid person. And it's just, here's a job that has to be done. Do you want to try this? And, you know, they said yes.
I think and people will rise to that. The right people will rise.
The right people, yeah.
To that.
And you just, and it's that, it's somebody has to focus on the mission. And that's frankly my job these days is to say, here, you know, we're here and here's where we want to go. So, guys, here's what I need you to do. Here's your mission. Make it happen. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I'm just going to say that here's what I want your group to get to. And choose your own way, because everybody's leadership style is a little different. And I want everybody that's in a leadership role to have the flexibility and the courage to, you know, man, make a mistake.
Lead the way that best suits them.
You know, I mean, that's
them.
The, yeah. You know, because what I want people to do is make more mistakes faster than everybody else.
So how many locations do you currently have? I know you listed them off, but I did not count them as you were listing them off.
Eight
locations.
And then we'll be in Pikeville opening here in June or July, whenever the building gets done.
Okay, so almost nine.
Yeah.
So what's the future for iCenters of Tennessee? Total domination of the Upper Cumberland.
Well, we don't look at it like that. It's just if there's another group that, you know, that wants to merge with us, that's great. If they don't, that's okay too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from the, you know, healthcare is kind of different in that our first priority is, it really is healthcare. And, you know, our challenge now is just keeping up with the growth. And we're at a point where I don't think it's anything that we've done. It's just, there's a lot of people moving here.
Well,
how do we get to them all?
Right. And managing 140 employees and managing nine different locations. And there's just a lot of moving pieces.
It's just when opportunities present themselves, we can either, you know, jump on it or not, or say, you know, we're happy for now. You know, for right now, our goal is just to kind of consolidate and, you know, because we've got to recruit physicians. I mean, it's a big thing. There's a lot that goes into growing.
So if people want to find iCenters of Tennessee, how can they best find information?
ECOTN.com.
ECOTN.com, which is, interestingly enough, I think I Googled eye doctors or ophthalmologists when I moved here, and not knowing even, you know, the connection that Jeff has with you guys. And he said something about eye centers. I said, I think that's where I go. I think that's where I get my glasses from. So it was great to have you in here today. I really appreciate hearing your story. And everybody check out ECOTN.com.
That's it.
Make an appointment and go get some glasses. Go get your contacts. They'll take good care of you over there. So I really appreciate it. And Ray Mays, CEO of iCenters of Tennessee.
Thanks, Tiffany.